methodical match.
Overlooking Phoenix, from high above in the Star Worldwide Network studios, Badge Boys. Stories, insight, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Burge and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Brought to you by OfficerPrivacy.com, the company's officers trust with their online privacy. And now, here they are, the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to another edition of the Badge Boys, the show where two retired cops talk to the community. I'm retired Crime Stopper Sergeant Darren Burge.
I'm retired Phoenix Police Officer Jason Schechterly.
And we have another outstanding show for you. We have Chris Hoyer. He was on before talking about horrific fallen officer incident that he was so involved in, quite frankly, getting the Medal of Valor. He is now an author and a public speaker talking about mental wellness, mental, physical, and emotional wellness. He will be on the show, a friend of the show. We're just so excited to have him back, but really excited to get this book. Then we're going to go into cop talk. We're going to talk about some good news for a change that's happening in the courts as it relates to police officers. And I'm kind of excited to talk about that. And then in the last segment, we're going to have a whole new set of loony laws, whole another 50 for the next 10 weeks. Then, of course, Jason's heroic headlines and his always inspirational closing message. So stay tuned, stay informed. Most of all, you're going to be entertained after this word from our sponsor, Officer Privacy.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
OfficerPrivacy.com is offering a special deal for listeners of this podcast. This is a great deal. Go to OfficerPrivacy.com/BB. Their team of current and retired law enforcement officers will remove your information from the top three sites that are showing your home address, phone number, and more. Sign up at OfficerPrivacy.com/BB. You can also follow the link on our show notes. During these challenging days, we not only need to remember our many fallen heroes for their ultimate sacrifice, but also honor them so their families know we've not forgotten. And that's what the Arizona Fallen Hero Memorial Riders Organization is all about. Each year, the nonprofit organizes three memorial rides among the beautiful backdrop of North, South, and Central Arizona, with the proceeds going to the 100 Club of Arizona. Learn more about these fun rides and how you can honor all of Arizona's fallen heroes at ArizonaFallenHeroesMemorialRiders.org.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired Police Sergeant Darren Burge and retired Police Officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
Welcome back, everybody. You know, I'm always excited when you talk to a friend. And I know everyone in law enforcement is a friend to us, but this is someone we've known. We've had some really long conversations with, sad conversations, quite frankly, about Officer David Glasser and his last day on the job. So we're not going to go down that road as much as we are about what Chris is doing now. Chris Hoyer is just a tremendous human being, and he's taking such pain, and now he's helping others with it, with this book, public speaking, and so much more. But as a public personality now, he's a Jason Schechterly, my friend.
he's better. I mean, Chris, I've known him for a while, and he's been through so much handled it with not only grace and compassion, but also courage. And he has proven that what we always talk about, PTS, can be used if you choose to make other people better. And within that, I always say, when you do good for other people, there's a lot of selfishness,
it's medicine
in that, which is
cathartic.
Don't shy away from the self. You are helping yourself. When I go out and do my public speeches, there could be 500 people in the room. When I leave, I'm the one who's the most inspired. I'm the one who feels amazing, and I don't shy away from the selfishness of that. And so Chris is helping himself. He's helping a lot of other people, but he is one of those few people that I could say I would take him into any fight in any alley at any time. Chris is an absolute badass, and I love this guy.
Yep, he will have your back.
Yes, indeed.
And I kind of bring up the part about him being a public speaker and now a name, because Officer Privacy, which we love, is our sponsor. We just absolutely love Officer Privacy. Yeah. We love what Pete James has done helping people. And as Robin always interrupts beautifully, that it's not just for officers, Darren, Jason.
No, it's for everybody. People,
Robin,
too.
Robin doesn't interrupt us, ever.
Yes, I do.
And again, so for anyone out there, you don't have to be a Chris Hoyer or a Jason Schechterly or even a low life like Darren Birch. You can be just who you are and need that protection. It gives you security. It really does. And we were talking, you know, I have a daughter. She's now married and has kids, but there was a time where, my God, I was so scared. Every time she went out on a date, I would tell her to use a guy's phone, call me to say, hi, Dad. You know, that way I have that piece of, I'll just say a piece of shit's phone number. So if something ever happens, I can go after someone if they hurt my little girl. Yeah. This protects your daughters, your wife, and you. Is just go to officerprivacy.com/BB. You get a present, you get a free month, and most of all, you get the sense of security. I can't hit it any more than that. It's really all about that sense of security.
No, it's perfect. We talk about it every week, but what Pete James is doing is, again, he's making people's lives better. He's an outstanding human being, full of kindness and compassion, which we so desperately need right now. And I'm just proud that they're our sponsor, and we love you, Pete. I know you're going to be listening tonight, so I want to tell you that.
You know what I love about that service more than anything? Please. And I'll just put this out there. Once in a while, I'll go back on Google and search, and what used to be there,
it's gone.
That's
Robin, you can't find yourself?
Well, I mean,
where did you go?
I can find myself, but I just can't find the important details to my personal life, which is
it really works. Isn't that great?
It is so cool.
Isn't it great?
And I love the reports they send you. They're so detailed.
Yeah.
So now I want to go and talk about another great guy, Chris Hoyer. He is the retired law enforcement officer, public speaker. He's a protector, survivor, and advocate for mental, physical, and emotional wellness. Chris, of course, was with Phoenix. That's how Jason and I knew him. After 20 years as a street cop, he's been faced with the worst horrors imaginable, as we heard on our previous show. He turned his focus to writing and public speaking, helping law enforcement community prepare for the trauma that will come with this job. It will. He's spoken to thousands, including first responders, mental health professionals, and various professionals, sharing his story in hopes of truly, truly saving lives. Now his book, his latest achievement, he discusses the tactics, preparation, survival on every level necessary in today's climate. The book, When That Day Comes, Training for the Fight. And I'm just so excited to welcome you back to the show. Chris, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Oh, I'm in the presence of greatness, man. I can't believe it. You guys are just the most amazing guys ever, man. I love it.
I will say yes in regards to Jason. You're 100% right. You two are studs.
No, Chris is still stuck on the awesome pizza that we shared at Streets of New York a couple of years ago.
Streets of New York.
And it was one of the best lunches ever to sit and chat. So,
you know, and we've had such great conversations privately, publicly. One of the great conversations we had was about David Glasser. Just such a sad, horrific event. And I know off air, I spoke with you just today about when I talk about medals, and a lot of people love the medals on their chest, but sometimes those medals come with a lot of pain. Some of the medals I have from, you know, my days in the Army were, you know, just fun. You know, I wasn't in the shit. You were in the shit, my friend, and you got, you know, a Medal of Valor. I mean, it doesn't get bigger than that. Can you talk about what that medal means to you? And what it doesn't mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've gotten a few other medals before, Medal of Merit and some life-saving stuff, and those were very meaningful. And you know, I took them on board and kind of thought, okay, I did a pretty good job and got awarded for it and so forth. But I got to be honest, standing on stage, it was me and, of course, the five other folks that were out there, plus the dispatcher, who was just unbelievable. She's awesome. We're up there and I kind of felt a little off base, if you will. I was thinking to myself, man, we went out there and we got our asses handed to us basically. And now we're being awarded for that. And so what I'm doing is I wrote a new story about it. I got a new chapter, the third edition of the book that's coming out hopefully pretty soon. And what I talk about is that, you know, it's very difficult because, of course, you have to take the medal. You've got to be honored. And it's not for me. It's not for anybody else except for Dave's honor, of course. So on that level, you got to take it. And on the other side of the coin, it's very difficult to stand there and say, you know, well, we love your bravery and your courage and everything else that you did. But, you know, when it comes right down to brass tacks, we lost an officer because on some level we failed, you know, and it's very difficult to try to balance that out somehow, you know. And I've tried to talk to other folks about it and get their opinion on it. And it's pretty much been the same opinion across the board. And everybody feels the same way that I do. So.
Yeah, and when you talk about that horrific day, and again, we have a whole podcast about that. We'll put that out so that people can look at and listen to that podcast as well. But that was a horrific, horrific day. But what you've done since then is you've truly redefined yourself, reinvented yourself. Is that fair to say that in terms of what you've done to help people and help officers, and now with this new book and all the public speaking, was there a transformation? And if so, where did that come from, my friend?
Well, I will tell you that when it first started, I very quickly realized that, you know, we're that typical, you know, cast iron, you know, I'm okay kind of a feeling. And you guys well know that we're not. You can't go through the stuff that we see and expect to be okay. So I quickly realized that, man, I needed to get out my emotions and talk about things and the things that were screwing me up. So I started doing that. Basically, it was at the post academies first, and then it was the recruits at the academies, and then I started speaking to it sounds kind of crazy, but anybody would listen to what I had to say, you know. And then it turned into a bigger thing, now a presentation, full-blown pretty much. But getting that out was huge. But then when I started writing the book, which I highly encourage. I know you guys have both written books, which are just completely amazing. Love them both. And for me, that is probably the best thing I ever did for myself. And my girlfriend, editor, Natalie, she says she truly believes that book saved my life. And when you hear somebody else say something like that, that's when it's like, wow, yeah, you know, it kind of makes sense now. So I think that was the turning point for me.
Yeah, it's truly a cathartic journey. I went through the same thing in terms of I thought I was fine. Writing the book, and my book's mostly funny, short, silly, one-off stories, but it brings you back at a time that wasn't, you know, happy, and you know, having that child in arms and you couldn't save, and those things, and you don't even know what hurts you. Someone we had on the show talked about the day he carried the baby from the Oklahoma City bombing in his arms, cradling it, and that wasn't the thing that brought him to the PTSI, that story. It was the collective nature of our careers. And you're right. You can't do our job in earnest and not have a lot of demons. Tell us about the book, what you hope it accomplishes, and how we can get it.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. I got to step on that a little bit more, because the culmination, exactly what you said, I mean, that's what it was for me. It wasn't just Dave. It was, you know, 18 years prior of all the stuff that I had seen, and Dave just happened to be the one that pushed me over the edge. So yeah, that being said, that's kind of where it all started for me. But so the book, now it's available now on Amazon, Kindle, and it just came out on audiobook as well. And I got a really bad habit of just sending them away for free with the signature on them, which I'm not supposed to be doing anymore, according to my girlfriend. But
understand that.
I'm trying to get around that stuff. So.
Your significant other should probably not be the love interest and editor of your work. It makes it a lot trickier.
It very much does, and she's my rock, man. She basically keeps me in line and holds me accountable for my bullshit, you know, which is not easy to do. I mean, you guys know me pretty well, so.
And you say it's available at Amazon and any bookstore right now, is that right?
Yeah, you can order it on any bookstore or Target, even eBay you can get it. Unfortunately, it's not in the store shelves necessarily, not that I've seen yet anyways. But yeah, you can just type in my name or the title, and it'll come up on Amazon or wherever. So,
and there's something else about the book I definitely have to know. I desperately need to know how you did this, my friend. But you have a very special foreword on that book, do you not?
Unbelievable. I mean, I am in kind of utter shock. Well, that's not entirely true because I've met him before, and an absolute, completely, total rock star. I mean, just love this guy. Of course, we all know it's Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. So,
yeah, right now Jace is like, oh, how did you get that? Tell us that story.
Well, I got on the NET team, neighborhood enforcement team, back in 2002, and the boss I was working for, still a very, very close friend of mine, he introduced me to Dave back in 2003 at the Dodge Theater when it was still the Dodge Theater, and I fell head over heels in love with the guy. I'm like, my God, this guy is spot on with his stuff, got all his books, and never stopped following all the way through my entire career. And then, unfortunately, again, after Dave was killed back in 2016, I had an opportunity to go speak up in Colorado, not with alongside Grossman, but we actually sat down for about 2 hours and had a long conversation about my story and everything else. And the guy is just so humble. You guys all know he's a scholar. He's a rock star. I mean, 10 different ways, Army Ranger, everything, you know. So I kind of stayed in contact with him over the years through that kind of thing. And then, you know, I got finished writing the book. It got published. Everything was great. And then I decided, man, you know, there were a few things that I very mistakenly and very regrettably forgot to put in the book. And one of those things was talking about the dispatcher. And I said, oh, my God, I completely failed her and all the folks that were working that day on that side of the fence. And so I started rewriting that story.
Good for you.
And put that in, and then decided, well, that wasn't enough. So I added three more new stories to the book. And then thought, well, you know, maybe I can just have some folks do some acknowledgments and these kinds of things. And I started reaching out to a bunch of my buddies. And, you know, now being in San Diego, I'm closer to the Navy SEAL community, which I just love. Mm-hmm. And then I started realizing, I'm like, well, I was never in the Navy. I was never in the military at all. So why am I reaching out to the Navy? I should go to the law enforcement side more. And since, you know, Dave is such a huge proponent of law enforcement and I kind of sort of know him personally, you know, I reached out to him on email and I said, hey, got this book. Would you be willing just to take a look at it, see what you think, and maybe throw something in, you know, just a quick acknowledgement. And I wish I had it up and running, but you should read the email I got back. He basically came back with, Chris, wow, .. Wow. I think his quote was, best law enforcement preparation book I've ever read. I'm like,
wow. That's huge praise.
Yeah, that's big praise.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, every time I read that email, I get chilled. I'm thinking to myself, my God, dude, I mean, you're Dave Grossman. So obviously you can plainly tell I'm much more than appreciative of what he not only wrote, but then he went and wrote the foreword the email and just threw out the accolades. And it sounds like he truly loves it, you know, which to me is huge because just like you guys, I mean, I'm just a regular dude. I mean, I didn't do anything special. I mean, I showed up to work every day. I worked and that was pretty much it. And then of course I got traumatized by a whole bunch of things, had to learn about it and teach about it. And then forward my message on to the public as much as I can. And to have a guy like that step in and say, hey, you know what, this is something that needs to be read is probably the biggest, you know, success of my life. So,
Chris, I want to ask you, this is Jason, I want to ask you a very difficult question, if you don't mind. You know, I still teach at our academy, and, you know, it's very easy for me to play devil's advocate when I'm at the academy. I went through my own critical incident, although it was an accident. I wasn't targeted. I didn't have to deal with the anger and the PTS from my critical incident. And I wasn't on long enough on the streets to have something, as you said, that pushed you over the edge. And then I worked in homicide for 3 years. And of course, I saw a lot of stuff that can easily affect you. So what I want to ask you, since you've been through it, when we say something, and when I say we, I'm talking about law enforcement officers who have been through stuff, when we make statements like, I finally went through something that pushed me over the edge, it always concerns me that our listening audience of law enforcement officers, I don't want them to worry that, well, you know, that day's coming, because again, you did sign up for this job. You did go through the training. You do know what can happen as far as being injured or killed in the line of duty. And you're certainly going to witness a lot of things that other careers do not witness. So when you talk about the balance between where you started and where you ended up, it's not in a regretful way or I wish that didn't happen way. It's still in the, this was part of the career and this is how I've dealt with it way. Is that, am I off when I say that?
No, not at all. And I mean, that's a very, very profound question. And I love that you asked that. So for me personally, one of the things that I did very, very early on in my career was, as simple as it sounds, as crazy as it is, playing the what if game, right? And what that looked like for me back when I had a year, 2 years on, before my first, well, I got my first shooting in 2000, my real first real shooting, in 2000. And up until that point, I had thought about, okay, well, if this guy comes around the corner with a knife, what do I do? If this guy approaches me in my car, what do I do? You know, playing this kind of what if role. And so, of course, you know, further down the line, you know, 14, 15 years on, now fast forward, I've been involved with, three shootings total, including with the rifle, and then with Dave at the end, another rifle, but now this is a gunfight. And so that it transitioned from the tactical side of, okay, how do I handle this, to what do I do mentally to prepare myself when a trauma occurs? And I'll be honest with you, I didn't focus on that enough, because had I done more of that earlier on, I think I probably would have survived my career a little bit longer. Let's say beginning of 2016 was probably the worst year of my career, and started with really nasty gunfight with, you know, watching an 8-year-old hang himself to Dave. And then, you know, had I had been processing things, you know, prior to that better and preparing myself for what I knew was probably going to be coming, I would have probably been a little bit better off and probably not been quite so screwed up. I'm just going to use that word, because I was for a long time. So I hope that answered your question.
It does, and that's a great – I think we should use those vulnerable words. So thank you very much.
Go ahead. And when you talk about screwed up, we're talking about PTSI. That's what we like to refer to it as. Yes. It's an injury based on your job. So yeah, it makes total sense.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, yeah. And – I can't help but really want to just thank you for taking that pain, taking that horror, and turning it into something positive. And I totally get what Jason was talking about in terms of, you know, when we help others, we're helping ourselves. You know, when I lost my son, I went to child crimes, and I just lost myself in that job, you know, and just really helped other people. And it really does save your life. So even though it's, you know, cathartic and it's inspiring, it's still for the greater good, because it's difficult. Like writing that book was difficult. You found yourself crying, I have no doubt. But now you are doing these incredible speaking engagements regarding mental, physical, and emotional wellness. Can you talk about where you're going? Because I know Virginia's in September. You got Washington as well, where you'll be talking to Spokane Police Department. Talk about that part of your new life and how rewarding that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect segue now, because I've actually added the spirituality side of that as well. And for guys that knew Dave Glasser, they knew that this guy was super spiritual. And I didn't really understand the dynamic of that until I started seeing signs after it happened. And I was going, wow, what is that all about? I mean, I had no idea, you know. So accepting that side of spirituality has been very huge for me to push me forward in my own personal life. And not that I'm going to preach all the stuff that I've dealt with or seen that have made things better for me, but, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, as much as I don't like saying that out loud too much, but, you know, our number's up. We know that. We know we're not getting out of this game alive. So if we take that on board and realize that, hey, you know what, we need to live our life as much as we can, because, as we all know, no day is promised to us. So I think that's a huge way to kind of stay positive in your life. And so switching gears a little bit. Yeah. So I'm going to be in Virginia, the 14th, 15th and 16th for the impact of trauma on law enforcement, which is going to be held in Norfolk. to hear three different days of a whole long list of people that are speaking, guys that are far more talented than me, like Jason, of course, you know, which, by the way, I wish you were there, man. That'd be awesome to get you out there as well. So, and then I got invited to former Phoenix lieutenant, who I probably should not name on the radio, but she's super, super rock star, left Phoenix, went up to Spokane, and she invited me up there to speak to her group. So I'm going to be up there on September 27th, 28th, and 29th. I think I've got three engagements up there with just her department alone. So,
oh, it's so good. It's fun. Isn't it amazing how small the world could be? I got an email from the other day, and like you, I won't name the person, but I didn't recognize her name. She sent me an email wanting me to come speak to her department. She's now a high-ranking officer in another state, and she just put a short blurb that reminded me that we worked together on the David Uribe murder in 2005. Yes. And the impact that had, I mean, it took me right back to that week, that those moments of investigating, because my squad was the one on call that Tuesday, and the outcome ended up being amazing. The shooter's on death row, and the other guy who was driving the car got 27 years in prison. But the world really can get small as we go farther in our career. So I love hearing that one of our former lieutenants is still thinking of you and knowing that you can help her officers now. That's just that kind of stuff. That's how the world needs to go around. That's how it goes in circles.
It's absolutely, man, you could be more right about the world getting smaller, because there are people that I have now met that are across the country that know other people that I've known years ago. And it's like, wow,
yeah, isn't that crazy?
Man, it's just unbelievable. So, wow.
You know, when you talk about going to Spokane and you're going to be talking to these police officers and people reaching out wanting you to talk to their officers, if there was one bit of advice that you could give to somebody who's thinking about law enforcement, someone who might be in the academy, in terms of surviving that career, because again, I think the academy does, most academies do a great job in the tactics in terms of, you know, shoot, don't shoot, you know, and all those things. But I don't know if they do a good enough job in preparing you for the horrors you're going to see emotionally and spiritually. If you had some advice, would it be down that road or would it be the tactical? What, if there was one bit of advice that you could give someone listening, what would it be?
I think it's twofold. And this is something I realized with Phoenix, because they drag us through the ringer through the hiring process, which I now realize was by design, you know, and I talk about that a little bit. And so what I tell people all the time is, the things that you have to deal with are by design. That's in the hiring process, through the academy, through FTO, all these things are by design. So when you get out on the street, you're a little bit more prepared. Now, like you said, you can't prepare yourself for everything. Like in my case, watching an 8-year-old hang himself. I mean, who has to see that, right? I mean, we do, of course.
They don't train you for that, though.
No.
It's impossible.
And how can you? I mean,
it's impossible.
In all reality, you know, I talk about stuff. I'll say, you know, one of my big quotes is I say, I want you guys learning stuff here in a controlled environment, not on the street. And you can take as much on that as on board as you can. But the fact of the matter is, when you see, you know, a dead guy in a street, nothing's going to prepare you for that until you actually got to see it. And unfortunately, that's what we're going to have to do at some point. So my humble advice to folks, oftentimes, as much as I can kind of make my point, is awareness. Just be aware that these things are going to happen, and it's okay. You know what? I mean, it's okay to say you're not okay after a traumatic event. As long as you want to be okay and you take the steps to make yourself better, you're going to be fine. I mean, not one single traumatic event is going to probably end your career, but over time it can. And if you don't take the steps like I failed to do, if you don't take those steps to make yourself better, you're going to end up being, you know, a much shorter, much angrier guy like I was, you know, for so many years. And when I finally realized that, I was like, oh, let that stuff go and process it the proper way, you know. So,
Chris, in closing, I want to say two things. First of all, I love that you say it's okay to not be okay, but it is your choice. One traumatic event, you don't know when it's coming, you don't know where it's coming, and you don't know what it's going to look like, how you're going to feel afterwards, but it is your choice to make yourself okay. And if you're prepared, and I'm talking to the younger officers out there who are maybe just a couple years into this and happen to be listening to this podcast, after, it's easy to sit in the academy and be like, I'm going to have a 25-year career. I might be a detective. I might rise up in the ranks, and everything's going to go smooth, and then I'm going to have this great retirement. Yeah, that's all bullshit, because that's not how it goes. There's going to be a whole lot of ups and downs in between, but it is your choice.
Very true.
And then the second thing I want to say, and I'm going to say this on air, not off air, there is a conference at the end of October, the 28th through the 31st. It's being advertised pretty widely right now. It's the Wounded Blue Conference. It is in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I am the opening speaker. Lieutenant Colonel David Grossman is a speaker. Sheriff Mark Lamb is a speaker. Countless other people are speakers. And Chris, I want to say this right here, right now, as a friend, with what you've been through, with what you have to offer, the Wounded Blue is all about the emotional and the mental trauma of law enforcement. If you can clear your schedule along with your editor, I will happily
nice
fly
save.
You from San Diego to Vegas on my Southwest points, and you and I, we can hang out in Vegas. We got to go to Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen because there's fire surrounding it, and I just have to be there. We can donate some money to the casinos, but we will attend all of these. I'm the opening speaker on Thursday morning, but I'm going to stay all 4 days. And if you want to come, you DM me, you text me, you call me. I'll fly you there on my points, and you and I can spend 4 days together, pal.
Holy shit, man. Well, I mean, it's an absolute honor, and I will most likely take you up on that. And
I can't wait.
One more
awesome.
Thing that, awesome. So Randy Sutton and I are kind of close
that's
buddies,
who, yes.
Actually officially, yeah, I know.
Lieutenant Randy fact, Sutton is awesome. Awesome.
Dude, when
and
we were
he's
talking
putting
the first
on.
Time, when he mentioned your name, I said, yeah, dude, I used to work with that guy. He's like, no freaking way. I said, yeah, man, of course.
Oh, Chris, you've so, got yeah, to go got to this conference. That, so. You've got to try and go. If you can, I understand. I'm not trying to pressure you, but I'm just saying.
Oh, no, pressure me, man.
You just tell me, and I will book your flights for you, buddy. I'm going on the October 27th, shit, and I'm staying right through Halloween.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I've got,
let's take everything else away. It's Las Vegas.
Yeah, right.
It's not like we can say no to that, right?
That is true. That is
Darren's
true.
Darren and Robin are over here going, I want to go.
Right?
We can all go. Yeah.
Okay, that was an all-star cast. No, I'm not going to that.
We're shutting down the studio and I'll go to
watch.
Vegas.
I'll Halloween. Love to watch.
No, it's going to be, in all seriousness, Randy Sutton is not exaggerating when he says this will be the largest law enforcement conference of 2021. And it's going to be incredibly valuable to a lot of people. So for all of our listeners out there, please, if you want to sign up, if you want to come even for a day or two to see a couple of the speakers like Lieutenant Grossman, I think Mark Lamb, Pinal County Sheriff, is one of the greatest law enforcement representatives in this country. It's going to be incredible. But yeah, Chris, you text me, you call me, let me know if you can clear your schedule on that, and you and me will hang out in Vegas, buddy.
Dude, I am down. I am absolutely down. So love it. I've got nothing going on, man. I'm fully retired.
Even
so
better.
I'm good to go.
All right, pal. You're going to stick around for our Cop Talk segment?
I absolutely am. Which, I wouldn't miss it, no way.
The great part of our show, I have no idea what it is yet. I have to wait. I have to wait to hear from my awesome co-host when we get back from break. So thank you for that. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You're so humble. You're so courageous. I respect you and look up to you more than you know. You had a even though you went through what you did, you had a career that I envy. I wish I could have gone through those things versus having a career that was cut short. And I want everybody else to look at it in the same way. You need to want to be the one who's there in those moments, and then you can make the choice to overcome and get better. Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, when that day comes, training for the fight. Thank you for writing that. Again, if you're listening, when that day comes, training for the fight. And you'll also be speaking in, Virginia on 9-14, and also in Spokane, Washington on 9-27. And again, thank you for being on Badge Boys, my friend.
We'll be right back.
Thank you, guys. I can't say enough.
But we'll be right back.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Badge Boys. We'll be back right after this.
I'm Pete James, a retired law enforcement officer who has a passion for the safety and security of those in the profession. OfficerPrivacy.com offers a full range of privacy services that removes your personal information from the internet so you and your family can feel safe and secure in your home. OfficerPrivacy.com will keep you safe.
You're listening to Badge Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Badge Boys.
Welcome back to Badge Boys, everybody. Outstanding first segment, Darren. Always you bring on the best guests, and I love repeats. I especially love people that I admire, respect, and look up to. Chris is one of my favorite people. That was a great, great segment. And now we're going to get into cop talk. And I am a blank canvas right now, so we're going to see if Darren can keep me
Robin, happy and excited.
And
if Darren can keep me calm today, or if today is going to be a vent session where Robin has to monitor the volume of which
therapy.
Eloquate my my responses. So, Darren. Hit me with our cop talk segment.
Okay, when we came in today, we were like, God, there's so much news out there. It's all ugly, you know, cabal,
yes.
And oh my God, those
yes.
poor Americans. And we could go political. We could talk about, you know, about our commander-in-chief. We could talk a
Let's
lot
not.
About things.
Let's
but it's not going to help us. And I saw a story, and I guarantee you missed it. If you're listening, you may have seen it. I hope you did, because we need to talk more about it. There's some good news out there. Arkansas, or because of loony laws, we can pronounce it Arkansas. Arkansas jury ruled that officer did not use excessive force in a fatal shooting of an armed man. Now, this, you know, that happens all the time, obviously. But the story goes a little bit deeper. In Little Rock, Arkansas, this was on August 16th, an Arkansas jury ruled that Little Rock police officer Dennis Hutchins did not use excessive force when he fatally shot 46-year-old Roy Lee Richards in 2016. So this has been hanging over Officer Hutchins for 5-6 years now. For more than a week, jurors heard testimony in a civil trial that pitted the family of Richards against Hutchins, yet the family was going after him. The ruling dashed that family's hopes that they would be awarded millions of dollars for the death of this armed man who was a family member. What's interesting about this is that Officer Hutchins and another officer, Justin Tyler, were warned as they're responding to this family fight that Richards was armed. So they went knowing he was armed. This was a huge part, obviously, in jury. And this happens a lot. Now, what ended up being the gun was a pellet gun. But it looked real. And it doesn't matter. The officers did what was right to save their lives and save others. And keep this in mind. Despite the prosecutor having ruled that the shooting was justified during criminal proceeding, and not proceeding, but investigation, Hutchins, on behalf of his brother's estate, there was a lawsuit, and that suit was, again, by the family for millions of dollars, even though it was completely justified. The lawsuit argued that Hutchins had used excessive force against this person, Richards, and violated his constitutional rights. In other words, it was just some excuse to make money. Hutchins' attorney argued that the 20-year-old veteran officer had no choice but to shoot when he saw Richards holding the rifle after having had a violent altercation with a family member. So this is a perfect example of the courts doing the right thing. The jury deliberated for hours, only come back to the conclusion that Hutchins had not used excessive force. This goes into qualified immunity. Again, this is civil. This is an officer who did everything right. It was obvious. There was a weapon. The officer was asked to go to that location because the family had problems with this person attacking them. He had walked out, had aimed this rifle at the house. There's just no reason this should have gone to civil court. No reason at all. And yet it was. And this has been held over this officer for 5 years, this civil nightmare. And they will keep trying because of the bullshit that we've seen during the summer of love, which was hatred towards police. And I think this is, again, if we're talking about a paradigm shift, which I hope there is, I hope there is this paradigm shift and that people are now maybe not talking about it, because I was on a cruise for 7 days and nobody talked shit about police. I was in comedy clubs. I swear to God.
Not once.
Not once. I was in comedy clubs almost every night.
Let me ask you this, please. As you go.
Thank you.
Were you proud to say, I'm a retired Phoenix police officer?
Not only was I proud to say it, I actually had to act on it one time. Yeah, in a hallway.
Tell me the story. You're on a cruise? Tell me the story. You had to be in cop mode.
Okay, listen in on this, Christian. Please tell me how stupid I am. me and my buddy were sitting in front of our cabins, and we hear this profanities, just bitch, 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 as almost everything you hear when you go to these family fights.
Right.
And so that's where my head went. It was a family fight. And I don't want to get involved. Number one, not only do I have zero authority being retired, we're in international waters. You know, I'm not going to get involved. The problem is the gentleman began hitting the ship, if you will, with his fist, wanting to hit these two girls. He was like screaming at them, yelling at them. They're in a hall. We're in a public area. And he starts pounding the walls. Well, to me, that's him wanting desperately to hit them. He's just holding back enough to hit a wall instead. But I felt and he's a big guy. I thought the potential was there where he was going to hit them. And then sure enough, he starts running at them. He got his clenched hand. He's ready to hit. And I screamed at him, buddy, what's going on? And I run over there, fully expecting get my clock cleaned. I'll be honest with you. You know, so.
But you still ran that direction.
I did. And I think that goes to, we're still cops. Even
into
when
the
we're fire,
retired. Man.
It's in our DNA. Uh-huh. So when that day came on that ship, the training for the fight was to de-escalate. I went into buddy mode. He hadn't passed the line in terms of violence. You know, he had hit the ship. You know, he had screamed. He was yelling. He was clearly intoxicated. But he hadn't crossed that line. So when I intervened and I went into buddy mode, I had to talk my ass off for like 20 minutes to calm him down before one security guard showed up. Teenier than me. Okay, guy was teeny. Okay, I probably weighed.
It's a cruise.
Yeah, right. So now I have to stick around. I'm still acting as lead because he didn't speak English. Okay. So my security officer was there to help me. Didn't speak English. Then finally two more showed up and were able to calm. And the guy was a nice guy. He just had too much to drink and some gal slapped him. So ultimately, she could have gone to jail who slapped him. It was a neighbor dispute thing. So
not domestic violence, but a
neighbor dispute, literally a neighbor. Yeah. Literally neighbor dispute on the balcony. So what I'm getting at is I was able to go into cop mode because I had to, someone had to, or this girl would have got her. She would have got killed.
Man overboard.
Yeah. And, as I told him later, I was a police officer, and I'm so glad I was there to intervene because he sobered up next day and apologized. He walked over to me and said, are you the guy that was in the hall? I said, yeah. He apologized to me. He was so truly sorry and apologetic and remorseful, quite frankly, for ruining our night, as well as he should be. Right. But when I found the full story out from the security and everything, when it unfolded, because I wasn't sticking around for the investigation, she could have gone to jail. She just slapped him. He still had the mark on his face, which I didn't give a shit at the time. All I wanted him to do was calm down as the aggressor at the moment. But my point being that was a microcosm. I was on a boat, but it was 1,500 people on that boat, and I never heard one ugly thing about police. The only time you hear about it is if you're listening to fucking CNN, if you're listening to politicians that hate cops, or if you're listening to LeBron James open his mouth when stupid stuff comes out, other than just watching him play basketball because the guy's incredible. I think there is a paradigm shift, my friend. And I think this little story about a cop that had to go through hell for no reason, this should have never even went to civil court. You know, our good friend, defense attorney, talks about, you know, these cases, you know, with qualified immunity, if it goes away, it won't make a difference. It does. It does make a difference. And that's why qualified immunity is so important, because of stupid civil things like this. This should never went to court. If this was just a family looking to make money.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, there's so much to address on this. You know me, got a lot to say. Let me address you first, because, and I know Chris is still on with us. This is what impresses me and why I have such respect and admiration for someone like you, Darren, and for Chris, because I can honestly say I never went through a critical use of force incident in my short career. So I know, without a doubt, had I been on that cruise in that situation, my immediate thought would be to take this guy out. But because you have been in several shootings, because guys like Chris have seen the ultimate sacrifice, they have been in true use of force critical incidents, there is a difference, and it benefited you. It benefited the people involved. So I respect you for that, because I don't think I would have handled it in the same way. When we move to the qualified immunity, while I believe in that very much, my thought goes to two things, and I don't want to cloud the issue, but when you talk about criminal and civil, let's go to a glaring example. O.J. Simpson was found not guilty in the criminal. We all know he's fucking guilty as hell.
Yeah, he wasn't found innocent. He was just found not guilty.
He without a doubt murdered Nicole and Ron.
Yes.
The civil court found him liable for their wrongful death. So in that scenario, it's hard to argue that the criminal and civil side don't have their rightful places. However, the other thing that I think gets lost on this officer you're talking about in Arkansas, and it's terrible to know that he did his job in a what a lot of people don't understand, these are split second decisions. And unless you are there, that's one thing that I learned my first day on the job, is I would always start saying, and I still say to this day, I wasn't there, so I can't speak to that. It's powerful. For that to hang over his head for 5 years is horrible. And I'm very grateful that the criminal side found him justified. What a lot of people don't understand is a civilian in civilian clothes in his same situation would have also been justified in using deadly force. It's not just the police. The laws don't apply separately. Use of force, justification of deadly force, applies to all of us. We have a right to protect ourselves and protect other people, correct?
100%.
Yes, 100%. But right now, in today's world, when an officer does something, the other day, I just read yesterday, a guy in Texas caught a man raping his 5-year-old daughter. So, like any father should do, he killed the guy. And he was found not guilty, justifiable homicide. Fuck yes, it's justifiable homicide. So we are currently in a world, though, where we divide what the law actually says and how the media and politicians want to apply it to police officers. So when you look at the civil side, it really bothers me that departments and their lawyers, they find it easier to just settle and pay the families than to go through the fight and stick up for their officers.
Thank you.
And the headline of that makes it look like the OJ thing, where, oh, the jury got it wrong, the prosecutors and defense attorneys got it wrong, it's the civil side
oh, they settled, so they must think their officer's guilty. And it gets very convoluted and clouded in truth and accuracy. So that part bothers me, but I don't know how, because you have defense attorneys who are going to be like, oh, I could get you a bunch of money.
Right.
And then you have...
They'll settle.
And then you have city councils and city managers and mayors and chiefs of police. We just talked to the commander in New Jersey a couple weeks ago. We've talked to Officer Dagis in San Diego, his wife, and what he's going through right now and how his supervisors are not fighting for him. So I don't know how...
Which is
we
all
will ever separate this. So what matters to us is this officer in Arkansas was cleared by the investigators. He was cleared by a jury, and it was justified. And now he can simply, well, I'm sorry to say that word, but he can simply go back to work and hopefully, like you on the cruise last week, learn from what he did and continue to get better as he gets into more and more situations where somebody like me, who's never been through that, I would probably start at the top. Like I said, the guy on the cruise, I would have taken him out. You didn't. You talked to him. And that's what Chris would have done. Guys like me probably wouldn't have done that. So it's a multi-layered issue, and I think it's important we talk about, but...
It goes in a lot of directions, but when it talks about qualified immunity, the idea that this has been hanging over his head was hanging over the department's head. Without qualified immunity, it would have been him alone on that island.
Is qualified immunity supposed to permeate over toward the civil side, though?
It is 100% civil.
That's what it's
100%,
for.
It's 100% about the civil. In other words, if it's criminal, you're not protected by qualified immunity.
So if this happened in 2016, why did he... Qualified immunity wasn't even being discussed in 2016. Why did he have to deal with this for 5 years?
Because qualified immunity simply gives him immunity under the umbrella of that police department, opposed to dealing with it all himself. We've always joked, you know, I can sue, a ham sandwich. Somebody could sue me for having an ugly face.
Right.
You know, you can sue anybody for anything. It's frivolous. It shouldn't go anywhere, but it can. And in the world that we live in, where it's demonizing police, where everyone's, you know, out for a buck, you add those two together, more of this is going to happen, not less. And even though we love our defense attorney friend that we have on the show occasionally, I disagree with him vehemently that we need qualified immunity because of the Hutchins in the world that are going to be screwed with, even though they did everything right, just because people want money. And right now, there's a target on law enforcement. And Chris, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, my
please,
friend.
Chris, weigh in on this.
Yeah, I agree with you guys 100%. And I think it's a huge mistake that they're even considering this. You know, I mean, I'm actually in pretty tight with Officer Dagis out here in La Mesa, California, and what
awesome.
He's going through.
Awesome.
It's absolutely, I don't understand it. I mean, the guy did his job. His wife posted something this morning about his chief of police sent him a thank you accolade thing for making it to the SRT team. Now he's completely turned his back on him, and that's what happens, you know, and it's a shame that it goes that direction. And then what is that going to do in the field for guys that are still out there thinking, why am I going to, you know, I mean, I can't tell you how many guys that I know that are flat out saying, I'm never going to pull the trigger because I'm going to get jammed up and go to jail.
Right.
Well, yeah, but you still have a duty to act sometimes, you know, it's just a fact. And so, you know, a lot of these guys are not wanting to perform or do their jobs at all because of these facts. And it's a shame. It's a really bad thing for us in this community. So.
Well said. And it's a lot of talk about. We've had her on our show. She was just wonderful.
She is an amazing
for her husband.
Truly advocate, is. Not only for her husband, which I deeply appreciate, but she's standing up for all other officers across the country.
Good point.
And she's using. She is a bulldog. Yeah. I absolutely love this girl.
Yeah. Please relay our appreciation for her being on the show and wish him all the best out
there.
We've
had her on the show. Yeah. She was great. And hopefully eventually, and I do think that day will come,
we'll be able to have him
on this show.
Yeah.
And
talk about hopefully this paradigm shift that I keep saying is out there. And again, that cruise, it was
to that end. It really was. There was all nothing but positive energy about police.
Can we just say that, Darren, you're a badass for what you did on that cruise?
Darren is so... I'm going to... You know what? I'm not even going to let Darren speak right now because he's so ridiculously humble. And everybody out there needs to know what Darren has been through, from losing his son to the shootings, taking a life, everything that he's had to overcome. And he's able to not joke about those things, but joke about himself right now with his books, which are not only hilarious, but they are thought-provoking and they are therapeutic for yourself. You are so incredible. Chris is so incredible. And these are the people that need to continue to express their voices and get it out to everybody as things continue to evolve.
But if you buy only one book this year, it's When That Day Comes.
Yes.
Training for the Fight.
Yes. Chris Hoyer. Chris Hoyer, baby. Chris, I'm telling you, text me, and I am going to plan right now on seeing you in Las Vegas.
Okay. I'm down, man.
As he laughs.
I totally love it. So.
As he laughs and goes, well, I have to check with my editor first. I love it. Yeah. All right, buddy. We appreciate you so much. You know I love you, and I would love to see your face again and get a bite to eat, have a beer, and listen to some great speakers. So thank you so much for coming on our show. Again, this will not be the last time you are on this show. I guarantee it. I'm going to go home and order the book as soon as we're done. So I want to thank you for everything, your service to the city of Phoenix that I love so much. And I wish you only the best, but hopefully I'll see you in about 57 days.
Right on. Thanks again, guys. This is absolutely an honor for me to be here.
All right, Chris.
So.
Be safe, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks. All right,
see you later. We'll be right back.
Bye. Yeah.
More stories, inside guests, and true blue humor coming up on Batch Boys. We'll be back right after this.
We both signed up for the service and are so happy with it. OfficerProfecy.com is offering a very special deal for listeners of the Batch Boys. This is a great deal. Go to OfficerProfecy.com/BB. Their team of current and retired law enforcement officers will remove your information from the top 30 sites that are showing your home address, your phone number, and so much more. When you sign up now with our link, you'll get a free bonus mailed to you, plus your first month of monitoring for free. You don't have to be an officer to sign up. If you are a family member or just don't want your personal information out there on the internet, you can join OfficerProfecy.com. We've met the owner, had him on our show, great guy, and he will take care of you, I promise. If you care about your online privacy, and I highly recommend the service he provides, sign up at OfficerProfecy.com/BB. During these challenging days, we not only need to remember our many fallen heroes for their ultimate sacrifice, but also honor them so their families know we've not forgotten. And that's what the Arizona Fallen Hero Memorial Riders Organization is all about. Each year, the nonprofit organizes three memorial rides among the beautiful backdrop of North, South, and Central Arizona, with the proceeds going to the 100 Club of Arizona. Learn more about these fun rides and how you can honor all of Arizona's fallen heroes at ArizonaFallenHeroesMemorialRiders.org.
You're listening to Batch Boys with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Now, back to the Batch Boys.
Welcome back to Batch Boys, everybody. Outstanding so far, Darren, and I am looking forward after last week we had a very special episode. Robin, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
Seriously, yeah. For both Darren and I were gone. We were both out of state, and you put together
a great
pretty
show.
You had more work to do with us gone than you did when we were here, and I give you a lot of respect. You know I love you. Last week was just a lot of fun to listen to.
Well, that was Darren's idea. Let's just call it straight here,
will
man.
Will you stop giving him credit?
Thank you.
I'm trying to give you credit, for God's sakes.
Thank you.
It was a much-needed break, not only for us, but possibly for the listening audience.
I
so I want to shout out to Robin, because it was
a full
episode of Looney Laws.
It was.
And now we get to get back on track and hear, I don't know what you managed to find on this cruise of wherever the hell you went. Is Looney Laws going international, or are we still staying?
We're going to stay with the United States.
We're going to stay with the United States.
But what I ended up doing is, number one, I wanted to double check some of these ridiculous laws
from the last 10 weeks. So sure. I went back to see if some of these really ridiculous ones, and the ones that were there, I was able to get some of the wording. And so the new set of loony laws will, again, cover all 50 states. We could call this part two. And so some of them will be some of the old ones, but more information on what it means and how it came apart. So without further ado, here's our new set of loony laws. I love that tune. Here's the second set of loony laws. They may have made sense when they were written, but today they are very questionable. We're just plain loony. They're in every state, and here's the next set of loony laws. In Alabama, stink bombs and confetti are illegal. That's right. In Alabama, stink bombs, also known as, and this is in the law, quote, funk balls. Again, I say funk balls, and any object with the purpose of creating disagreeable odors are strictly illegal. Also illegal is spray, string, confetti, and bathing in public fountains. Now, what I say to that is, I guess if no one's spraying, you know, funk balls on you, maybe you don't have to take a bath in a fountain anymore. I don't know. But maybe that's why in this same
law. How's confetti illegal? I can't shoot confetti in the air?
Yeah, confetti, funk balls, anything that smells.
Okay,
spray
wait
string
a second.
Doesn't smell.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Does this count as breaking the law? Because they're talking about stink bombs. What happens when somebody Dutch ovens you? Doesn't that count?
I've done five of them. I've done five of them on the show already. So if I was in Alabama, I would be in jail.
I haven't said it in 6 months, but I quit.
They're silent. They're silent. But deadly. In Alaska, no getting drunk in a bar. That's right. In Alaska, it's illegal to be drunk in a bar. Now, what's interesting about this is that if a person knows they're drunk, they're not even allowed to enter a bar or remain in the bar. So in Alaska, I say this to everyone listening to our show, turn yourself in.
Or go on a cruise with Darren.
That's right. That's right. I'll talk you down. I'll talk you down off the ledge. In Arizona, it's illegal to spit in public. Now, when I came on an apartment, that we had a city ordinance. It was absolutely illegal to spit in the city of Phoenix. Now it's just Goodyear. In Goodyear, Arizona, it is unlawful to spit in or on any public building, park, sidewalk, or road. Offenders may be charged a fine of up to $2,500 and 6 months in jail for spitting. Please.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I owe currently about $500,000 because I chew and I live here in...
You know,
in the valley,
oh, you're one of those guys, huh?
I have spit on the sidewalk probably at least once a day for the past 2 years.
I'm buying you a carry-on spittoon because of this. I don't want to see you arrested.
I want to see it. It better be monogrammed.
It will absolutely be monogrammed. There'll be a Phoenix bird on that
puppy.
Way
to go, Arizona. Jesus.
Well, I have to say Goodyear. It's a bad year for Goodyear. In Arkansas...
Arkansas?
Now, our last loony laws, we talked about this, about Arkansas or Arkan-ass. And we talked about how you can't do it. Well, I looked it up and it's still strictly prohibited to pronounce Arkansas incorrectly in Arkansas. Per the state code, the only acceptable pronunciation is, I quote, in three syllables with the final S silent, the A in each syllable with the Italian sound, and the accent on the first and last syllable. So, you've been warned twice now. Twice you've been warned. Your ass is going to jail if you say Arkan's ass.
Then you're guilty six times today.
So I can't go to Arkansas. I can't go to Arkansas.
I happen to love Arkansas.
Okay.
I have been there several times. Fayetteville, Little Rock. I've done speeches there. I love you guys. So if you want to come arrest my co-host, please feel free. I will not mispronounce the name.
But what happens if you have a speech impediment and you can't get the word out correctly? Are they still going to punish you too?
Well, now you're getting into minutiae.
I think you can find a good defense attorney.
Yeah, we know a few, don't we?
I wonder if a defense attorney would jump on that. Yeah.
Yes, they would.
Lawsuit.
Yes, they would. And you better find a good one.
Disabled. Yeah. Okay. That is our loony laws. Talk about Americans with disabilities. And
And now for something heroic and inspirational, that we had a couple of laughs. And I want to assure everybody out there that right now, Jason is not spitting or chewing tobacco.
No, not
in my studio, dude.
Not
I'll give you a cup.
You know, there's so much, obviously, Darren, that we could talk about this week. We're both military guys. It'd be very easy to talk about the 13 souls that were lost in Afghanistan and go on the political side. Obviously, they're all heroes. Their names can be found all over social media and the internet right now. But I found a story this week that really hit home with me, and that I always share the ones that mean the most to me. We had an incident this week with Hurricane Ida that, you know, ironically, can you believe, Darren, that hit on the exact 16th anniversary as Hurricane Katrina?
No, I didn't know that.
On the day.
Wow.
16 years to the day. Wow. And Hurricane Katrina is well known for being the worst thing ever. However, if you look back at it, it was only the worst thing ever because a couple days after the hurricane, the levees broke. Well, the levees are now incredibly well done, and they're not going to break. So Hurricane Ida was actually worse than Hurricane Katrina as far as
power.
The winds. Yeah, the power, the winds, and the rain. And so it the destruction, and we're going to continue to see it unfold. And I saw a story. I was recently in Texas, obviously, for quite a few weeks visiting my grandson. And I spent some time down in Houston, went down to the Gulf, saw the sights, things I haven't seen. And I found out about a guy named Mattress Mac in Houston. And he is sheltering Louisiana residents affected by Ida for free and filling 30 truckloads of donations, because that's what Texans do. Jim McInvale is known for his Houston. This is Houston. We're not even talking about a Louisiana guy. Right. He's in another state and wants to help. He's known for his Houston-based furniture store, but to many, he's known as Mattress Mac, and he is very giving of his heart. He is opening his store to any Louisiana residents affected by Hurricane Ida. He did the same for storms past, including Katrina, which was 16 years ago. So this guy has been doing it for a very long time. And he has a sign, one of those giant, you know, signs outside of a large business. And it says, Louisiana residents, sleep here for free. Aww. This guy is an absolute hero for what he does and how he makes every day better, other people better. And it's just a reminder that if, for all the problems we have right now, for our divisiveness, the hatred in this country, especially when you, God forbid, turn on the news or listen to a politician, this is how we overcome it. This is the paradigm shift. Ask yourself, wherever you are right now, whenever you are listening to this podcast, how can I do something to help somebody else? And it does not matter their political affiliation. It does not matter their race, their gender, or how much money they have in their bank account. What matters is they are human beings and they live in the United States of America. How can you help them? And we can all make this world a lot better. Please consider that. And thank you, Mattress Mac. Thank you, Chris Hoyer. Thank you, Darren Birch. Awesome.
Thank you, Jason.
I'm glad you got to go on vacation, and I'm glad you got to be a cop. Robin, you're awesome. I'm glad to see you again, and I look forward to being back in studio every week now for a very long period of time. We got some great guests coming. Darren's got a big surprise, I believe, coming in 2 weeks, right? September 13th, and I'm not going to share any names, but if you're listening today, you might want to tune in 2 weeks. So I hope you enjoyed the show today. God bless and be safe. We'll see you next week.
Match Boys. Thanks for listening to Batch Boys. Stories, insights, guests, and true blue humor with retired police sergeant Darren Birch and retired police officer Jason Schechterly. Batch Boys, heard weekly and worldwide on Star Worldwide networks and all mobile devices. Batch Boys.